Today's discussion is about picking fonts. We've all been there. Pull out a list of fonts. We all probably have hundreds of them on our computer. It's really hard to understand exactly which fonts we should be using when we got a project, especially those of us that are less experienced. And so it's easy to see sometimes. The irony I find is that in general, really good font choices and design can really make things seem invisible. And what it'll do is when you look through a product, it'll just feel right. And so a lot of ways that does not gain attention. But boy, if some wrong choices are made, there's something that at best is just a little off-putting or a little unsettling, but sometimes it is glaringly bad. And so, you know, what I'm offering here is not a a lengthy, in-depth way of choosing fonts. It's just simply kind of a high-level guide to kind of the process I go through and some of the, I guess, the do's and the don'ts. But so there's, don't look for anything in depth, but if you're always kind of confused exactly typefaces, which ones you should be choosing, which ones you shouldn't, this isn't going to give you anything specific, but just kind of a guide to the way to think about it. So one thing to think about is font pairings. You do not want to have too many fonts in, I would say fonts, too many typefaces in your document. So the typefaces would be like Futura, Garamond, Times New Roman, and then your fonts would be the bold, the medium for each one. So as far as typefaces, you do not want to have too many, and too many is more than two, but not always true. There are people who are able to break rules and do it well, but unless you really know what you're doing, stick with two at most. And so there are plenty, I'll put some of these links in the show notes, but there are plenty of guides out there for showing, talking about font pairings. Generally, what you do is you may have one font for your title or maybe one font for your headings and then another one for your body text. So this is one site. It's Creative Block. They give 36 perfect font pairings. Anyway, if you go through these typefaces, they give both the typeface and the font used. But what I would say is look at the fonts that are being used. And some are sans serif, some are serifs, they vary in their looks, but what you really want is two fonts that are dissimilar. You don't want two that are kind of close. So like this one is a sans serif. It doesn't have any little, the Acumen Pro regular. No, so it doesn't have any little flares coming off there. But this one, Calvert Pro regular, is a slab. It's got these chunky outcroppings. In general, the other thing too, if you look through these, so we've got the Courier New, we've got, if you look through these titles, I always pronounce this wrong, Alighiera. I've used this one before. It's really nice. So what you want to look for is, as you go through these, what they're saying is these work very well together. It doesn't mean that they don't pair well with others. But as you look through these, you'll start noticing some familiar ones we'll talk about later. And what you're going to want is you're going to pick one font to be for your body text. And that is the text, the letters, the words, sentences, the paragraphs, what makes those up, they're going to be red, not the heading, the headings or the title, but the body text is the part that people are going to be reading. And you as a designer are going to want it to be easy to read if there's a lot of it. If all you're designing is a small zine and a handful of words, doesn't really matter. But if you've got 10,000 words and you pick a clunky font, people are going to stop reading. And you don't want that. And so as we go through these, some of these are good for body texts and some aren't. And it's like, for instance, this Nova Mono, do not use that for body text. But Lato appears to be a fairly decent one. So you would pair that where this would be your for your title, for your headings, maybe whatever. And then this would be for your body. But as you go through these, we're going to do is we're going to talk about this here is just saying fonts that go good together. This particular article, let's see, does not state, I think I'd be careful is some things when they talk about font pairings, some things are for web and some things are for print, and things that are great for the World Wide Web do not make great for print reading. And so Arial is actually a decent font for websites, but a terrible one for, I'd say terrible. It's just not very good for actually using in text. So keep that in mind whenever you start looking at these pairings. But what I'm, the main thing is when you look through, and this is not the only guy, there's plenty of other places that give these pairings. Look at the style of font, and especially once you pick your body text, which I think in some ways is it's a very important decision. See if it's actually one of these pairings. And if it is, look and compare it to the other one and look at the style of the font and the feel of the font. And that kind of gives you an idea as far as another style that actually pairs well with it. And there's another site here at Google. They do the same thing with, so there's it's fonts.google.com. And what they do is they, as listed here, the best Google font pairings of 2023. So all the Google fonts are free as in no charge. You download them, they work great. And so they go through and they this particular site paired what they felt were the best ones for 2023. And it's another way you can go, and they do the nice thing about showing the style and the comparison and based on size. Again, remember, not all these fonts are great for are intended for text as far as for print. Some are intended for like web design or for like labels or different things like that. But looking at these will help you make decisions and will help guide your way of thinking about the fonts that you're using. And here they actually use three. And as you go through this, it's like, just look, find a good readable one and just see what the effects are and playing the different sizes. And as you can see, some make really great, like in this one, Tico looks really good, but boy, it'd be miserable to try and read it. Now, what makes something a good body text versus another? It's one part science. It's all mathematics combined with a little artistry. So there are a lot of features that go into what things make things readable, the variation in size, spacing in characters, spacing between words, thinness and thickness. And there's ways of adjusting each one to make things more readable, less readable. And readability is not always, for body text, that should always be your primary concern. But when you start using for headings and titles, easy readability isn't a great thing. It isn't a great thing. Isn't something you have to be as concerned about. Not saying you don't want to take it off the table, but it is less of a concern. Because people, especially when you're only dealing with a handful of words, people can make through that pretty easily. But when you start combining into sentences, long sentences and sentences into paragraphs, you do not want to create any sort of barrier between the work that, at least my philosophy is, you don't want any barrier between the main text and the reader. And if you start playing around with that, and some people are very successful and are really good at design, but they do things I think that sell much better than my anything that I do. And they're smarter people than I am. But if I can't read it, if it's white letters on hot pink background, I don't want to read it. I don't want it. So it's a decision. There's a site here called Typewolf. It's a good site. They give an example of their top 10 favorite body text fonts. And you go through this, it's a lot of, these are actually new fonts. So what I will say is there are a lot of professional fonts. And there's new fonts out there that are intended for text, for body text, for print. And those are all viable. And I think if you choose to go that route, if you're going for something that is not a traditional font, I would say that just make sure that what you're getting is something that is, I guess, I won't say vetted, but something more vetted, because there are sites with, you can download thousands of fonts, thousands, and a lot of them just are not that great. The thing about this, a lot of people, just like anything else, like with RPGs, products, there's a lot of us that are putting stuff out, and some of the things we put out are good, and some things we put out are mediocre, and some things we put out are bad, but we're constantly putting things out. There's people that are doing the same thing with these typefaces. And so some stuff is, you know, they vary. And as you look at their top 10 favorite, Minion is one that I'm seeing. It seems to be pretty consistently, it is one that has been a pretty popular one throughout time. So, but some of the other ones I'm not afraid, not that familiar with. So, but there are places, and you can buy fonts, also paying money. You do not have to pay for fonts. There are some really good fonts that you, if you want, you have to pay for. And generally what you're getting, but not always, like anything else, but in general, there's a lot of variation within the characters and spacing. There's odds and ends that if you're buying a more expensive font set, they are really solidly put together. There is I use Roboto, a slab for Journey of the Madlands, and it's got a defect. And there's a thing I can't do because there's something screwed up about the R. It's just like, if I do an outline, you realize they didn't put it together right. And so anyhow, you can pay a lot of money for fonts. It's up to you. But so free is free. As long as you get what you pay for. But anyway, depending on your budget, depending on what you're looking for, it really depends on the what's the atmosphere you're looking for this. Are you looking for, you know, is this something that you are, you look for a sword and sorcery type game, a futuristic type game, post-apocalyptic? Are you trying to mimic a military manual? All these things go into play looking for the typefaces. And so there's some things you may want a classical look and some things you may want a very, very modern look. And so anyhow, in buying fonts, if you want, you find something that really just beautiful and fits your project perfectly, you got the money. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I will say is, short of that, if you are not going to purchase a professionally built font, one that's, I will say, been vetted and is accepted and is established, stick with traditional, you want to stick with the traditional fonts for the body copy. So you can go outside a little bit, but it needs to be, in my mind, it needs to be something that is pretty well established. So for body copy, they've got Baskerville, Avenir, Sabon, Garamond, Palatino, Hofler, Carson, Georgia, Book Antiqua, Ariel, and Veranda. So these, they say, are suitable. Again, Ariel, I believe, is for web services, but a lot of these, the Baskerville, Avenir, Garamond, Georgia, Book Antiqua, Verdana, right? Butchering this. Pretty established. You can't go wrong. These are solid workhorses. They will not fail you. They will not let you down. Livewire, they give their list, Baskerville, Budani, Caslin, Century, Garamond, Godi, Palantino, Saban, Stone, Seraph, and Times. So Times, and there's Times New Roman. I think one is more of a condensed font, but some people will issue the very common fonts because of your ubiquity and wanting to do something different. But to be honest, it's unless you're really going for something extraordinary, there's no reason not to use a lot of these fonts. Now I say that I did actually use some different fonts. We'll talk about those later, but you cannot, you'll not lose with these. And what you also do is when you're picking these, you look through these, you'll notice that at first you think there's not that much difference, but as you start staring at them, you notice there are differences. And the differences can be pretty significant. And if you don't think they're very significant, take a body of text and switch between those all at the same font size. And you'll start finding out that there's a lot of variation as far as how much room each one of those takes up. Nothing good, nothing bad. Again, Times New Roman, they condense that bad boy so they could fit a lot of stuff into a newspaper column. But if you're not wanting to fit a lot of things in the newspaper column, you may want to stay away from Times New Roman, or you may want to stick with it. In fact, my daughter did the Fane of the Fly God, and she did the body text as using a condensed font. I never would have done that, but it looked good, and she's smarter than I am. So, but anyway, and again, just be aware, stick with tradition. But if you notice, most of these have a serif. Most often, these will have most of your body texts will have a serif, not all the time. So that being said, you go to Google. I think Google is your friend, even if it's not. If you type in best serif fonts for body text print, look at that. They give a list of these, and what we're seeing is a list of the same fonts. Maybe a little bit of difference, and we will put best sans serif. No, they didn't do it. That's too bad. Here we go. Somebody's providing this for us. And so, Codec Helvetica. And Helvetica is a very, very traditional. This one's a different version of Helvetica. A lot of people kind of eschew that one because of its popularity, but it's a solid font. It's taken a while to roll, but you notice that some of these we're starting to see repeats from elsewhere, I think, for the font pairings. Very solid. And the one I want to point out is Futara. How you pronounce it? I personally think that Futara is a solid workhorse that is absolutely an amazing font. And I used it for a body text for Journey of the Madlands. It is not exact to the old school modules, but boy, it sure evokes it. If my memory serves, this is basically a very modern font designed by, I don't know if it was by NASA. They did this. So a lot of manuals, a lot of, this has gotten a lot of use, and it exists everywhere. And you say, this is Sophia, sorry, Futara. So you say, Jeff, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Not by NASA. It's used by NASA extensively, but this was actually a Bauhaus between 1919 and 1933. So this is the Germans. So basically the Germans went in and did this whole thing with geometry, and these things are all geometrically. I mean, the amount of thought and science and the use of circles and making sure everything hits a certain harmony, very modernistic, not so much flair, but basically mathematically consistency, that kind of stuff. But a lot of times you see with those serifs, it's more of a little bit of art and flair. This one is designed to just be a very clean geometric one. And you say, well, Jeff, that just looks boring. Look at these. That just looks boring. Like, what can you really do with that? What can you do with Futara? Well, that's a good question. And if you just type Futara and you type in images, you start seeing that, you start seeing a number of ways it's being used. But if you really want to, I do recommend that, but if you really want to see, look at logos. I think this will be the quickest way of demonstrating. If you look at all these logos from Best Buy to AEG to 4-H to Frosted Flakes to Gillette, these all USA Today, these all use Futara. They use a version of Futara. And you can take the different fonts. So from condensed to italics to bold, medium to whatever, you can adjust the spacing in between the letters. You can use all caps, small cap, whatever you want to do. And you'll notice that it creates a similar kind of feel, but there's a lot of variety that can be done. And the same thing is you can pick a font and pick a typeface. And if there's enough fonts, you have pretty much unlimited ways to make use of this. And I really would say that is what I look for fonts. I can't remember if I go past this one. I guess it's another one with about fonts. So for instance, with Scoundrels of Brixton, I use the AKZIDENZ/grotesque standard font or typeface. And the font styles, there are, I don't know, there's probably 20, up to 20 fonts within this typeface. With one typeface, I've done this entire book. And so from these condensed, from the stats to these headings, there's a lot of variety that can be created with a single typeface. And so I would recommend that you pick in this word I can't pronounce, the accent is grotesque. It has a lot of variability, and if it's an established font, well loved, and I would recommend that you find a font that allows that kind of flexibility. And maybe you still want to use two typefaces, but you have a lot of that gives you just more options, and especially if you're starting out and you have a series and you want to expand as you go. And I think that's the other thing is when you're starting out, you know, you don't want to have too many variables. You just want to keep adding them. But boy, having a good solid font or typeface to work from with a selection of fonts will set you up well. So I guess looking at this kind of, I guess in summary is, you know, be mindful. I mean, there's a lot of really cool fonts out there. And the most important font is going to be the most foundational. It's going to be your body text. Pick something that's traditional, pick something that's been vetted, pick something that gives you options by using different fonts. And then you'll have the flexibility to work within that and with that, and be able to create and expand as you grow in your skills. And that is probably key there. And don't be enamored with all the baubles and that. It's too easy. If you want to pick a fun font, for your title, for your headings, do that. Or typeface, I should say. Old habits die hard. But again, make sure that's a solid body text. And you want to make sure people can read it. Because ultimately, if they're not going to read it, most people are not going to use it. And you don't want that. And I would suggest that in the previous episode talking about examples, you know, flip through those different zines that you have or different books. See what types of typefaces they choose. And you might be kind of surprised. Sometimes they'll even tell you, if you look, they'll tell what's being used in that particular work. But you may actually be surprised to find that they're actually not using a lot of different typefaces. They're sticking with a solid, strong family and just and using the variation from there. So anyway, thanks for listening. Any questions? Feel free to reach out.